not a short one. It's the story of the rest of your lives. It's called The Land of Truth. It's a Sufi story. A certain man believed that the ordinary waking life as people knew it could not possibly be complete. He sought the real teacher of the age. He read many books and joined many circles, and he heard the words and witnessed the deeds of one master after another. He carried out the commands and the spiritual exercises which seemed to him to be the most attractive. He became elated with some of his experiences. At other times he was confused, and he had no idea at all of what his stage was or where and when his search might end. This man was reviewing his behavior one day when he suddenly found himself near the house of a certain sage of high repute. In the garden of that house, he encountered Kidder, the secret guide who shows the way to truth. Kidder took him to a place where he saw people in great distress and woe, and he asked who they were. "We are those who did not follow real teachings, who were not true to our undertakings, who revered self-appointed teachers," they said. Then the man was taken by Kidder to a place where everyone was attractive and full of joy. He asked who they were. "We are those who did not follow the real signs of the way," they said. "But if you have ignored the signs, how can you be happy?" asked the traveler. "Because we chose happiness instead of truth," said the people. "Just as those who chose the self-appointed chose also misery." "But is happiness not the ideal of mankind?" asked the man. "The goal of man is truth. Truth is more than happiness. The man who has truth can have whatever mood he wishes, or none at all," they told him. "We have pretended that truth is happiness, and happiness truth, and people have believed us. Therefore you, too, have until now imagined that happiness must be the same as truth. But happiness makes you its prisoner, as does woe." Then the man found himself back in the garden with Kidder beside him. "I will grant you one desire," said Kidder. "I wish to know why I have failed in my search and how I can succeed in it," said the man. "You have all but wasted your life," said Kidder, "because you have been a liar. Your lie has been in seeking personal gratification when you could have been seeking truth." "And yet I came to the point where I found you," said the man, "and that is something which happens hardly to anyone at all." "And you met me," said Kidder, "because you had sufficient sincerity to desire truth for its own sake, just for an instant. It was that sincerity in that single instant which made me answer your call." Now the man felt an overwhelming desire to find truth, even if he lost himself. Kidder, however, was starting to walk away, and the man began to run after him. "You may not follow me," said Kidder, "because I am returning to the ordinary world, the world of lies, for that is where I have to be if I am to do my work." And when the man looked around him again, he realized that he was no longer in the garden of the sage, but standing in the land of truth. So that story really, in many ways, sums up or directs us to the orientation of this path, to the orientation of inquiry, to the orientation of essence. But it's a deep realization to come across that to desire truth over everything else. It's not what we were taught or what we observed through most of our life. Many other priorities people in the world have taken up. In the Sufi tradition, really one of the highest names they have for God, Al-Haq, means truth. Which is why, in a way, we can really start to see that truth, true nature, God, ourselves, all the same thing. But truth, a complicated word. It's been used in many different ways, and it has for a very good reason. If we consider everything is true nature, then everything is truth. So it's understandable that truth has been used in many, many different ways to describe many different kinds of things that feel true, feel real. The truth that we are talking about here also has many, many layers. But one of the things we begin to recognize is the kind of truth that has value to us on the path is really the truth that is known by the heart. It's more of a flavor than a fact. More of a fragrance than a concept. We know when we're in touch with ourselves, we know when we're in touch with a truth of ours. And when we're doing an inquiry, you know, you feel your way through it. And the guide is that sense of truth, that sense of, does this feel real? Does this feel true? And each moment, we're not consciously asking that question, but our heart is asking that question. Our heart is really not interested in anything else. Truthfully. Yeah, we want to defend ourselves and protect ourselves and all those things, of course. That's part of the deal. But the heart's really interested in truth. Which is why we're prepared to sit around and do these exercises that put us into, you know, not happy places sometimes. But places that feel real. That's really a key. We're not doing this because it's fun to feel pain. We're doing it because somewhere we get nourished, we recognize that there's a truth here, there's some realness here. God, it hurts, but at least it's real. We get the sense of we're getting to the bottom of ourselves. Not living on the periphery. And it's our heart, the heart compass, that guides us constantly in this direction. And these kind of retreats and schools and spiritual schools are really the hubs of exposing this kind of truth, the truth of the heart. We want to know what's true about everything to do with us. What's true about what I'm feeling? What's true about my situation in my relationship? What's true about my relationship to coming to a retreat? We can't think it out. We can get some things from the mind, but we always find the answer that sticks in our heart. We know sometimes that what would be a really good idea would be if I do this, but the truth is, I've got to go there. The heart has always been considered a dangerous thing. And when it comes to truth, it is. Because as the man said, he is willing even to lose himself to find the truth. And really, that's the bottom line for us on the spiritual path. We don't know where the truth will take us. And at some point, we stop really caring as our trust in our heart and our truth compass grows. The word truth is a tricky one. So one of the words that actually feels more tangible to me anyway, I had a lot of difficulty with the word, you know, love of truth, that expression. Didn't come to me, but the love to be real. Something about that sometimes feels a little more accessible. It's more, brings it more home. It's like the sense that we're being real with ourselves, with our friends, with our situation in our life. There's something very earthy and grounded about the sense of being real. And we know when we're not being real, and we certainly know when someone else isn't being real, and they know when we're not being real. Remember that. Because we, what I call, smell a rat. You know, I don't know if you have that expression, but I would be doing inquiries, and I knew something wasn't right, and I could feel myself reaching. I could smell this rat. Something wasn't right, and I could actually feel my sort of inner compass reaching for. That just doesn't feel completely real, and you can actually sense your way into the truth of what's going on for you at the moment. And one of the ways we do that is where we start to see, oh, that's actually, that doesn't feel real, that doesn't feel real, until we get to that place where it's a real sense of, oh, this is me right now. A sense of landing in our truth. Truth is one of the most fluid things. You know, we're raised often to think that truth is very black and white. This is truth, that's not true. But one of the examples always used that, you know, there was once a time when it was absolutely 100% true that the earth was flat. And you could not contest that. And we were not only flat, we were the center of the universe. That was 100% fact, true. Truths change. And those kind of truths maybe take a lot longer to change than our own inner truths. Like, what is true for us in this moment is not going to be true for us necessarily in 5 minutes' time. What's true, and when I'm talking like that, I'm talking about what's true about the nature of our consciousness, the state of our consciousness in any given moment. What's arising what's taking shape in our consciousness in any given moment changes. Which is why inquiry works. If it wasn't true that truth could change, we couldn't inquire. So we move through different truths, different layers of truth as we enter. One way of seeing it, as we've been talking about the inner critic, the superego, that for a very long time in our life, before we're conscious of the critic, most of our truths are the truth of the critic. Should be this way, should be that way, not good enough, this, that, and the other. A lot of our truths are actually the truth of the critic. And as we start to see through that, we start to see the underlying truth. Maybe, so as what Rob was talking about this morning, some of the more difficult feelings that we've been defended against through the critic can start to surface. Pains and deficiencies, emptinesses. And as we penetrate through that layer of truths, we get to the truth of essence, truth of our being. The land of truth, where truth is what is. And even then, we can learn more and more truths about the nature of truth. Arriving in the realm of essence is just the beginning of a whole other revelation of the way truth reveals itself. So what's true for you today, the way you feel today, what feels really deeply true for you today, will change. And there'll be a deeper, different truth tomorrow and the next day. So it's always changing. So our work is to constantly keep entering in with our heart to our experience to find out what's true now, what's my truth now, what's my truth in this moment. But also, what's the truth in my life? If we only care about truth, we won't hide. We won't be defensive, and if we are defensive, we'll be immediately interested in how come. What's the truth of why I'm being defensive right now? We'll want to know. We won't necessarily go unconscious to it. Stay with the status quo. Happiness, we're really figuring out on this retreat that happiness is not exactly the game here. And the truth is, how do we know what is right for our soul? Well, enlightenment's the other reason people get onto spiritual paths, but if we're being really honest, really true, how do we know that that is the necessary unfoldment for this soul? We don't. We don't know what the truth is for any individual, for ourselves. So we sacrifice a lot for the truth, actually. Sacrifice a lot of our ideals, a lot of our ideas. And we have to sacrifice a lot of our our other gods? Another way of saying that is, what do we value more than truth? Actually, if we get really honest about things, we can sit here in this nice spiritual situation and talk about truth and how much we love truth, but we look at our lives. How much do we love truth, and how much do we love other things? How much do we value being real, and how much do we value being liked? Where are we really authentic in our life and really seeing the truth in our life? Are we seeing the truth objectively around our finances? Can we be real around authority? What about our relationships? One of the most, to me, one of the most amazing places to do inner work is in a relationship. But it's also one where a lot of the pitfalls lie. In relationship to being real. You know, if we look at our relationships, where have we hedged a little over the years and come up with these agreements that are really don't reflect the truth of ourselves at the moment? Many, many relationships, not just intimate relationships, relationships with our colleagues, relationships with our friends that we've had for 25 years. Can we be real in those? Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes, again, we hedge a little. We all have a self-preservation instinct, which kicks up, and it really takes a deep dedication to truth to override the self-preservation instinct. We would rather be safe than true a lot of the time. How do we spend our time? If we're being really honest with ourselves, does the way we spend our time reflect our love of truth, or our love of comfort, or our love of video games, or you know? Or are we just too busy to pay a lot of mind to being real and being true and being present? Because when we're talking about truth and talking about being real, we're also talking about being here, being now. Sensing, looking, listening, feeling ourselves in each moment. So we can talk a lot about the love of truth and how wonderful it is, but we've got a lot of other loves. And there's no harm in that. It's just the way it is. But where are we at with our anger? Are we real with our anger and our strength? Many, many different things we can look at and ask ourselves, is this really, am I being really true here? You know, there's a point where we really get the pleasure principle can be turned on its head. The pleasure principle is basically we move towards pleasure and away from pain. But there is a point, and there is a place where we start to recognize, actually, and I think this is already happening to some degree, that we love the truth, even if it means being in pain, if it makes us feel real. And there are times where we can actually know, when we feel this huge reaction, we meet it with a kind of welcoming, because we know we're onto something. I've just had a huge reaction. There's something here for me to see, and we've got something to look at. Rather than push it away, it's wrong, I shouldn't react. No. There's a pain arising. We can move towards it because we're suddenly interested. How come? Well, there's only feeling space, and all of a sudden there's this pain arise. Rather than clinging to the space, we move towards the pain because we want to know the truth about it. And learning to love the truth takes time. We haven't been taught how to do that. We've been taught to learn a lot of different things other than truth. But the more we work together and we do this, we start to see the value in loving truth for its own sake. Not because we're going to get anything out of it, because we love that feeling. We love to latch onto that golden thread that takes us into all these different places where we feel more and more real, more and more true. The longer we spend putting truth at the top of our pile, and when I say the longer, I'm not talking about weeks necessarily, I'm just talking about periods of time in a day when we're just really interested in what's the truth. The days and weeks and months may come later, but let's be realistic. We can spend periods of time a day dedicated to the truth of our experience in the moment. Where am I? What's real about me now? And the more we do that, it's like it gets a little addictive. It becomes a truth. And it's probably better than some of the addictions that we have. And one way of seeing this phrase, love of truth, love of being real, it's love of contact with that flavor, that feeling we get when we are on to that something feels true. We're actually making contact with a quality of presence called truth. First it appears as a flavor or a fragrance. But actually, we can feel it as an actual presence, and we know when we're in touch with it. So one of the things we want to do is we want to really just have a look at our lives and see where we're at with being real, being true in our lives, and where we hedge a little, where we're not exactly real with ourselves. And the reason we can do this now, we couldn't do it two or three days ago, is because this is not about the superego. This is not about you should be this or you should be that. No, we just want to have a look. Where are we at with being real, being true? No, there's no room for the judge here. One of the things we've learned is that something about the judge is not real. It's like Rob's elephant. Doesn't exist. And one of the things we know is we get caught in things like the superego, we get caught in senses of deficiency, but the reason we don't stop there and say, okay, well, that's it, this is all there is because of the flavor of this doesn't feel like it's the total truth. So we look further, we go deeper, we sense into ourselves, which allows us to go through underneath these structures that don't have that ring of truth anymore to us. At one time, the superego had the ring of truth. We didn't know any better. It's like one time the world was flat. It's really like that. And now we see superego comes up, we recognize it, we know there's a deeper truth. The truth of spaciousness and freedom from the superego. So we can look on that level. So we're going to do a monologue. Groups of three. ...15 minutes each. Explore the areas of your life where you feel most real. Explore the areas of your life where you feel most real. And explore the areas where you feel less aligned with your truth. Less aligned with your truth. Explore the areas where you feel less aligned with your truth. So one more time. Explore the areas of your life where you feel most real. And explore the areas where you feel less aligned with your truth. So you do that for 15 minutes each, and then for 15-minute discussion amongst the three of you, just about being real, being true. And as you do that, it's not about telling each other stuff, it's the art of listening. So you have a discussion, but the main thing is the art of listening, which will bring in a certain kind of presence. And just discuss that thing, the flavor of truth. And see what you come up with each other. So I'll see you back here in an hour and 5 minutes. Everybody does 15, and then at the end, 15 minutes discussion amongst the three of you.